Blog Talk Radio.
This is a power hour music place. You're listening to Paranormal Hangover with Mark and Lauren. I just made up music. So, yeah, so this is a pre-record that we're doing here on Tuesday night for Wednesday night. So pretend it's Wednesday night and our music's playing right now because we didn't have any music on this this slot. Oops, our bad. Yeah, so, hey, welcome to Paranormal Hangover, everybody.
Welcome to the hangover.
Wednesday, May 18th, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
The year of the Lord, 2016.
The year of our Lord. 2016.
Nice. The Lord.
Get it right.
He's the Lord.
The year of our Lord.
Anywho. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, what's going on, people? Thanks for tuning into our funny little show. Yeah, this is another week that we're going to be doing a little popular culture segment with Mr. Brian Cano.
Yeah.
Once a month, we have Brian come on now. And we talk culture news with Brian.
Yeah.
Talk usually about Walking Dead. Gotham.
Whatever's been on that week.
Yeah, whatever catches our fancy.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about how I fell down the stairs this morning and twisted my ankle.
That's news.
Yeah.
We could do that.
And how it hurts real bad.
Aww.
But my lips hurt real bad.
My lip hurt real bad.
My lip hurt real bad.
Can't talk. Can't do it. But yeah, so hopefully everybody is sitting back listening to this show and drinking their Deadly Grounds coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Not just because they're our sponsor, but because the coffee is damn good.
Coffee to die for.
Is it?
It is.
I think it is.
I wouldn't actually die, but it's pretty delicious.
Lauren, you drink Deadly Grounds coffee, don't you?
I do.
And how does it make your day go when you drink Deadly Grounds coffee?
Deliciously.
Deliciously.
Yeah.
Wow. Visit deadlygroundscoffee.com. Order your bag of Deadly Grounds coffee, your box of Deadly Grounds coffee, your whatever of Deadly Grounds coffee. Some mugs, t-shirts, swag. Tell Tom Lealios that the guy and gal over at Paranormal Hangover sent you,
mm-hmm.
and you'll pay full price.
And you'll get no discount whatsoever. Just awesome coffee.
Awesome coffee. And why would you need a discount for awesome coffee?
You really don't.
Nah.
This ain't no Folgers.
This ain't no crystals.
This ain't no Folgers crystals.
No Maxwell House over
Shit.
Here. Probably trademark all that stuff. Now we're going to get phone calls. Why are you mentioning Maxwell House Coffee? You didn't get permission. Damn it.
Oh, they're going to send a cease and desist.
Yes, we're going to receive a cease and desist letter from Folgers and Maxwell House for mentioning their coffee. Personally, I like to use it to shine up my bike chain.
Shine up your bike chain.
Yes. Not Deadly Grounds. Never mind. It's the thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Can you shoot me in the ankle, please? It'll take the pain away.
I'll shoot you in the ankle later on. Take you out to pasture. Look, old Yeller, we're going to go for a walk in the woods.
Like Chris and the deer.
Yes. Why don't you tell everybody about your friend Chris and his deer story?
Oh, come on. All right. Real quick. So my friend Christopher is a policeman. And he got a phone call one day that there was a deer that got hit by a car and its back legs were broken. And the guy who hit it felt really bad. So, of course, Chris goes out there. And the only thing he could do is shoot it. So he shoots it.
Well, first of all, he's blocking the highway.
He's blocking the highway. Yeah, so he's blocking the highway off.
Rush hour traffic. Everybody's watching.
And he shoots it. And it doesn't die.
This poor deer was already suffering with broken back legs.
Bucking around. Like, trying to get up. Shoots it again. Still won't die. He shot it in the head twice, by the way, just so you know.
Crack shot.
Finally has to walk over to it, put his foot on its neck, and shoot it point blank. And then drag it off the highway.
Meanwhile, there's a group of little kids probably sitting in the cars crying, Mommy!
He killed Bambi! Why did he do that?
How am I going to get Christmas presents now? He killed one of the reindeer. That's not a reindeer, sweetie.
Why did Officer Chris kill the reindeer?
You probably preface this with the fact that Officer Chris is a really nice guy and he was just doing his job because the poor deer was suffering. And this is not animal cruelty. There was no way that the deer was going to recover.
No, it was suffering. I always think of that scene from Me, Myself, and Irene with the cow. imagine he's doing.
Good God. So, yeah, so Debbie Brown's Coffee, we really don't have anything to promote.
No.
Oh, actually, you know, be sure to come check out my lecture at Pennhurst Paracon.
Mm-hmm.
I might be talking on Saturday, possibly Sunday, probably Saturday.
Probably Saturday.
Maybe Sunday. I don't know yet. I'm speaking.
Do I have to write your paper now? Do I have to write
yes, could you please?
I have to write your lecture now.
Yeah, you're my writer. But, so Pennhurst Paracon will be there Friday night. Brian Cannell will be leading the investigation Friday night. And then we will be doing our thing Saturday and Sunday there. Come check out our table.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about the Paranormal Database,
mm-hmm.
which you can get a preface if you go to ParanormalData.com. Man,
yep.
all we do is plug shit.
I know.
Have you noticed that? DeadlyGroundsCoffee.com, ParanormalData.com, MGHParanormal.com.
I'm so excited for what Paranormal Data is going to be doing, though.
Could you tap a little closer to the microphone?
Very excited.
Absolutely.
For what it's going to bring.
Yeah.
In the next couple weeks.
Ooh, in the next few weeks, eh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We will be going on and uploading some of our evidence tonight. I will, I guess. I'll be going on uploading some of our evidence tonight.
Well, it's not like both of us can use the laptop at the same time.
We can. Yeah, we can. Yeah. I'll use one side, you use the other.
And you use the little...
Yes, I'll type while you use the mouse. No,
yeah.
I should probably use the mouse while you type.
Yeah.
I'm not a very
weird.
Fast typer.
It's like the scene from Ghost that they were going to do, and then instead they switched to pottery. Can you imagine?
This isn't working with two pottery. The funny thing about that is that the Naked Gun did. Lucy Nielsen, he reaches into his pants and pulls the clock out. That is excellent. Still checking to see if this is the, okay.
Mm-hmm.
If this, yeah, that's code for as our guest calling in.
Yep.
So I'm going to go right to the lines here.
Right on time.
Brian, pretend it's Wednesday night. Hey, Brian, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it feels great. On the Collector was amazing last night.
Wasn't it great? Man, tell us about the episodes.
What a great pair of episodes.
I hear that there's some new people that popped up. If we haven't seen it the first time around, some new kids joined.
Actually, yes. 2 weeks ago, we started season two reruns on Destination America. So the first episode was last week, and just last night was episode two of season two.
Nice.
You know, I think we all pretty open. Deep down inside, want this to go off successfully, that all of a sudden they turn around and go, why don't we order some episodes of Haunted Collector?
Yay! Woo! Do we can do the clapping on there?
I can't. We have you weren't privy to the opening of the show here where you'll hear it tomorrow if you decide to tune in. I mean tonight. You'll if you listen to the replay.
He's messed it up already. It doesn't matter anymore.
We're using a different line, so none of our stuff is on here, so I couldn't play our intro music. So instead we improvised and did a little beatboxing. you're not laughing, Brian. That was funny.
He said he can't hear us.
Ah.
He's not hearing us.
Not good.
Yeah,
you
I was trying to be discreet. I was trying to be discreet and text it, but yeah, the connection's a little choppy, so there it is.
Wonderful. How's
Hold
this?
On.
Is this better?
I don't know if you're not saying anything. I can't hear you.
Hold on.
Wunderbar. Just keep talking, and if you hear us, just answer, okay? That works well, right? Right. Good talk. So Haunted Collector has been going well. Do you guys get any sort of insight into what the ratings have been like over on Destination America?
No. They're pretty tight-lipped about the ratings, and I haven't heard anything. So I can only assume that it's doing well. I mean, I know on Tuesday nights, both John and I get bombarded with tweets and comments and texts and emails, and it's all been positive. So I can only assume that things are going well. I'm the last person who will find out anything from Destination America, because even when we're on Sci-Fi, they don't tell me anything. I'm just glad people are enjoying it. And I mean, hey, this is our pop culture episode, and now that we're back and people are enjoying it, it's in with the lexicon of other things that people are digging.
Absolutely.
It's good.
I actually where I work, one of the gentlemen I work with kind of half watches the paranormal shows on TV. And he has seen another show that I'm not going to mention that was sort of, people seem to believe it's in the same vein as Haunted Collector, which it's not even close. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's a completely, not a completely different concept, but just a different concept together, which happens to deal with haunted items.
Yeah.
And he watched Haunted Collector for the first time when they started replaying it on Destination America. And he's like, that's a way better show. Why isn't this show on TV? He wasn't aware that it wasn't. Like replay that it was reruns. He wasn't aware it wasn't a new TV show. He's like, this show is way better. And I'm like, you never saw Haunted Collector before, dude? It's like, so.
Oh my god. Yep.
Kudos to you guys because the show, even in rerun, is still fresh and new. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people haven't seen it. I mean, October is my lecture month, and I go to different schools, and of course, the big two, everybody watches. And I'm like, all right, who watches? You know, A. Who watches B? Who watches Haunted Collector? You get like one or two hands that go up. I'm like, oh, all right, thanks. But, yeah, I mean, right now, if you haven't seen it, it may be reruns, but it's new to you. So, awesome. I get on the Haunted Collector train.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, honestly, I hadn't seen it before I met you, but afterwards I had the same reaction. I was like, well, I don't get it. How have I never seen this show? I feel like it, I don't know, maybe they didn't promote it as well, or it was, you know, it was just everything was Ghost Hunters.
They definitely didn't.
You know?
They definitely didn't. Like, I remember we always complained about advertising, and it was never advertising. Pretty much it was just up to, you know, once again, me and John kind of flying the flag on social media, and is, you know, that's not the most efficient way to go about things.
Mm-hmm.
It still isn't. And honestly, I don't see any advertising on Destination America, but yet, again, now social media is our friend, so...
mm-hmm.
We've really been pushing it, and people have been responding positively. So you never know. I mean, I always tell everyone, nothing speaks to the networks louder than ratings.
Yes,
so,
really.
You know, and I'm staying
and
on...
And speaking of which, actually, we can roll into the pop culture part of this, because I just read today that, for the most part, everyone is on board for the next installment of X-Files. Because it did.
Nice.
I saw
it shattered
that.
Records. It shattered records for Fox, and they would be silly to not do it. And Duchovny and Anderson are on board. Chris Carter wants to do it. They just have to figure out when.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fox is doing some interesting things right now. So they did that, you know, bring back the X-Files, like you said, smashed records, and it like you and I saw the same thing you did, where it said looks like everybody's on board. There's going to be a reboot. Another season of X-Files is coming. And then today, for the first time, I saw the teaser trailer for The Exorcist.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it.
See, I didn't watch that because it came in the same bundle as Lethal Weapon, and that's interesting to me. I despite what I do, I kind of don't care about The Exorcist. I've never even seen the original movie, which everyone's like, oh, my God, how could you not see that? But, yeah, it's interesting because it's everything old is new again. I mean, there's a Rush Hour TV show on right now. Lethal Weapon is coming. So all the stuff that we grew up with is now fulfilling all our TV DVR space. Ghostbusters is being rebooted in a couple of months. So it's all everything old is new again. And that's nothing new. We've seen that.
Well, the thing for me, and Lauren has something, I just wanted to jump on it while I was still on my, the tip of my head. The thing for me with this Exorcist teaser was that at first I'm watching and I'm like, okay, The Exorcist. It's called The Exorcist. I'm like, oh, here we go. Just a redo of the movie for TV with Gina Davis in it. And I'm watching it, and it's, you know, modern times and the priest. And then all of a sudden, as I'm watching it, and they play it really well with the priest going into the house and, you know, things happening while the priest is in there. And then he is not really a believer. He's thinking it's more mental things happening to the child. And then, boom, he's confronted up in the attic. And he immediately, the next scene you see is he's entering a room and there's a back to him. And he mentions his name, and it's the father from the racist. And he's insulting him on this case because of his case that he had. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. He's going to this, it's not the same. It's a new case completely, and he's seeking his guidance for this case. So it's pretty cool.
So it's not a remake. It fits in with the existing canon.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like they do the same thing for Damien.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm trying hard, but I'm having a hard time. And it already something like that. But it's like they're trying to be really creepy. You know, Damien's older now. He doesn't remember anything from when he was a kid. He doesn't remember any of that crap happening. I'm really trying so hard to make it scary and creepy, and I'm just, it drags.
Yeah.
See, I didn't start watching Damien because when they redid the Omen movie,
yeah,
I kind of wasn't satisfied with it, so I kind of gave a pass on the TV show.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying some of the newer things that are coming out. Wayward Pines is coming back for a second season, and that was originally a 10. It was supposed to be just limited, but the way it wrapped up and the way it was going, I said, yeah, this is good. This could keep going. This is interesting. You've got my attention, and it's different. I just started watching it. I haven't really gotten a feel for it yet. I'm still on the bubble with it. Houdini and Doyle on Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started watching that too.
What do you think?
There's only been two episodes, right? Two or three? Maybe three.
I believe.
I watched the first one. The second one I didn't make it past because my bedtime is at like 9:15. But I kind of liked the first one where it was going, and I was hoping that it would, again, speed up. It's not about instant gratification for me, but it's more like, all right, get on with it. I don't need a 14-hour speech about this, you know, about your past life. I just get on with it. Let's go. And Mark was kind of iffy about it.
I liked it. I was confused because I didn't catch it from the beginning to it, like, you know, a few minutes later or something. So
yeah.
I wasn't quite aware that they were basically happened to exist in the same plane or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but my confusion, Brian, and I want you watched the first episode in its entirety, correct?
I've seen all the episodes in their entirety. They don't give you backstory. They just jump right into it. So
yeah.
Unless you know about the historical friendship of Harry Houdini and Arthur Conan Doyle, you're like, what, huh? Why are these guys friends?
Yeah.
What are they thinking about? What's happening? And
yeah.
They're trying to do a very Mulder and Scully-ish type, I believe, but I don't, and you're silly, and let's make a bet. And that I'm not enjoying so much because I kind of want them to go their own way. Like, all right, and again, this is very much in the tone of Sleepy Hollow, where you're taking something that's historical and that is fact, and you're putting a spin on it. I want to see a spin that's not just old hat.
Right.
And so far, it's really been, I want to say, predictable and textbook, but I have hope that it finds its feet and does something a little unique.
Yeah.
See, like I like Ripper Street. My go-to, because I felt like that, even though, you know, it starts out in Whitechapel after the, I wasn't going to say Jack the Ripper, I almost said the Harry Houdini murder.
That damn Houdini, God, he was horrible.
I don't know, I just like that much better than I lost my complete train of thought.
See, the Houdini and Doyle. So this is what I want to get to this, Brian, because there was one thing that happened in the first episode that I was very confused because I happened to look down. I, for whatever reason, hadn't paid attention. I looked back up, and there was a girl on top of Harry Houdini from behind. It didn't look like she was giving him a massage, and I was quite confused at what I was seeing. Can you tell me a little bit about what your take on that was? Was it a massage, or was there something else going on there?
I'm not even recalling the scene.
I don't know. He didn't have a shirt on, but she was like, to me, from when I looked up, it looked like maybe she was performing an act on him that I wouldn't think would be shown on TV, but, all right then. So you're going to have to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
And go, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't remember so much. I was just, especially that first episode, I was just trying to, I think grasp who is who, why things were going on. And, of course, because it's a contemporary show, they're showing, look, strong female character in an atmosphere where women are kept down. I get it. Enough with the bleeding arms.
Yeah.
But I think the characters all have potential. And there's the the little barbs they make, like Houdini and Doyle go to the police station to inquire about something, and the police don't like Doyle because his character Sherlock Holmes is always making fools of the cops. So to spite him, they give them their lowest ranked inspector to go with them, a woman who they have working in the basement. And surprise, surprise, she turns out to be intelligent and spunky and smart and driven because she wants to prove that her gender is just as good in equality and yada, 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 yada. But I kind of want to see, I want to see where it goes. And I think all the characters are good and likable. And this can, if it finds its feet, go somewhere. I'm not wowed by it like I was when Sleepy Hollow first started, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. You know, give it a shot.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Unfortunately, speaking of Sleepy Hollow, I did not get to see, and Lauren has not seen the last episode, but I heard that something pretty traumatic happened. And now I'm kind of
Well, weeks have passed, and spoiler alert for those of you people who are listening, in 3, 2, 1, they kill off a major character. And I've read that, you know, this is due to behind the scenes disputes and things like that. They kind of wrote her off, and she'd been wanting to leave for a while. And we've talked about this on the past couple of shows, that Sleepy Hollow just seemed to be dragging on. We're like, oh, this is going to get canceled. It's going to get canceled.
Yeah.
The way they ended it actually got me excited about it again. And
good.
I said, ooh, oh, wow, this will be amazing. Now I have to hope it survives to season 4. I have to hope that they renew it in spite of how they ended it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know, though, the last couple seasons have been that way. They started off slow and build a little bit, then they drag again, then it builds to this crescendo, and you're like, I can't wait for next season, I want to watch it. And then the season comes, and it starts off slow, and you're like, why is this doing this? No. And I hope that if they do come back for season 4, that it is, you know, up to par. It picks
more
up,
like season 1.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because Sleepy Hollow fell into the trap. Like, its charm that first season was that it was all based around the Ichabod Crane legend and Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And you can only drag that out for so long. And, okay, the horseman has to be defeated. And other things have to go, and they have to grow. So they have to leave Sleepy Hollow because every monster can't be within that 10-mile radius. But the way they integrated it into the history of the Revolutionary War and the founding fathers of our country was really clever. But it just kind of started repeating itself. Season 2, they're like, oh, by the way, Benjamin Franklin did this. And oh, by the way, Paul Revere did this. And they were all monster hunters. And just, it started to feel like, and you know what it reminded me of? A show that I love, but I admitted was kind of campy at times, Highlander. Because Highlander, he's like, I met this person before 200 years ago. And there was a woman that I had sex with 200 years ago. And they're back. And trauma and swords fight, and it's over. And then the next episode, I haven't seen you in 300 years. And that woman, I haven't slept with her in 300 years. Repeat for 9 seasons.
Yes. I just wanted to see whose head he was taking at the end of the show. That's all I wanted. Who's
actually,
quickening
six seasons.
No Bastard Executioner.
And,
I was into that show towards the end.
And I watched them all, and you know, it got really strong in some seasons, and it got, you know, a little weak in other areas, and I was always fascinated that no matter what time period Duncan MacLeod was in, his facial hair could be groomed exactly to the times. And I know how it is. It's like, all right, your facial hair is what it is. You can either grow certain patterns or you can't. But this guy, I think that was his immortal power, the power to grow any facial hair he wanted.
His power shall be facial hair. I will have the beard of a Viking or the mustache of an Englishman.
The mustache. Mustachio.
Hey. But yeah,
hey,
no, I used to watch that show, like you said. It was like every time it was on, I'm there. I'm watching Highlander. I dug it. It was fun. It was, like you said, it was campy at times, yes, but that was supposed to be campy. That was what shows like that were at the time. They were
it was a problem. Like, you were on board with the contract. I mean, Hercules, I didn't watch it, but it was campy from what I saw.
Yeah.
Xena, I think, was the same producers, as far as I know, was kind of campy. Like, you get those Channel 5, Channel 11 shows.
Yes.
I'm not sure. It would be like Fox and WPI. No, actually, it's not PIX anymore here. WB now. Now it's
yeah.
WB. But,
yeah.
You know, the shows that weren't on the major networks kind of were campy just because that's they had the freedom to be at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Brian, it's CW now. It used to be PIX, then it was WB, and now it's CW.
See, I don't watch the CW because it's pretty people programming, and other than Supernatural, which is mostly still pretty people programming, I just can't.
Speaking of,
it's just like look, just watch the commercials, and it's like The Vampire Diaries and
yes.
The Originals, and everything is young people, pretty and brooding, and it's not for me. I'm not in that age category anymore.
It's awful. No, I because we're watching Supernatural. I'm seeing the commercials. Like, I'd probably be watching this if I was 11.
and when Supernatural first started, you watch those first two seasons. Every person they helped, every victim was a pretty 20-year-old girl. And
yes.
There it is. It's like you watch not for the story, but for the pretty people doing things, and then you kind of get grabbed in. And,
pretty 20-year-old girl. Dean falls for her. She's haunted. Sam.
And it was and in the beginning, it was very much Monster of the Week. So they always had some adventure they went on, some girl that they met in town, and it was always, all right, who's going to get her this week, Sam or Dean? Okay,
yeah.
And then you would advance the plot. And actually now, what, 11 years later, I've always said that they probably should have stopped at season 5 because that was the big number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's been okay, and I like the character, so I've been watching. But this season, it's finally gotten big again. The stakes are back up to, you know, this is the universe. So it's either going to fall or what's going to happen unless Sam and Dean fix it. But I believe they've been renewed for another 2 seasons. So
yeah.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Well, have you seen the last couple of episodes?
I have. Yeah, I'm current on Supernatural right now.
Uh-huh. I did not see that coming. I'm like, you know, spoiler alert, you know, hey, Chuck, I did not see that one.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
At the end of season 5, that's kind of hinted at. And you saw Chuck at the end of the musical episode, which is, I believe, was their 200th episode?
Yep.
Yeah.
So they've kind of acknowledged that, but him just showing up saying, okay, this is it. Interesting. They're finally addressing things that, you know, for years, they're like, hey, where are you? What's going on? But the stakes being this high, what's going to happen next season? Like, oh, we got a bunch of werewolves that are causing havoc. Like, it's just not going to be as strong. And that's what happened after season 5. Season 6 was The Hunt for the Alphas. And it just felt like, huh, what? We just did all these little monsters, and oh, hey, look, it's Mitch Pleggy from X-Files playing the dad who's resurrected all of a sudden for no reason.
Here's my prediction.
Yeah.
Here's my prediction.
Pain.
Yes. They defeat Mara with the help of Lucifer, with the help of everyone. Lucifer turns on God and kills God, kills Chuck, and now Lucifer's the big problem now.
The big bad man.
For the next.
That would be interesting. You
know, yeah. That's my guess. Because Lucifer's not going to just let go of the fact that he was banished. And, you know, I have a feeling that, yeah, he knows that Amara is a bigger problem than God. But after they take care of her together, then he's going to turn his sights back on working with God again and taking care of that problem.
Yeah. Well, he can't. Yeah, exactly. Because he can't take over if there's nothing to take over. If she wipes out everything, and we saw this in the season finale of Lucifer, where he pops back into hell, sees a door busted open. It's like, oh no! And what was it? I think he said, "Oh, mother's gone." Or
yeah.
And I'm like, oh hey, Sam and Dean are already on that case. It's good.
Oh my God! I hope they don't do a crossover. Remember they did Cat and Bones crossover.
Network, though.
Come
we're okay.
On.
It won't be a crossover. Network.
Yeah, different networks.
And actually, was Bones
it was
and...
Bones and Castle, wasn't it?
No, Bones and Sleepy Hollow.
That was one of the most awkward crossovers I've ever seen. It was even worse than Flintstones or than the Jetsons.
It's like,
I love Bones.
I didn't watch the episode. I refuse to watch the episode.
I know, I haven't watched it either. Manny, Castle is officially over, so you don't have to watch it anymore.
So is Nashville.
I never watched Nashville. Did you, Brian?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said Nashville. Did you ever watch that show?
No, never did.
Good, me neither.
Yeah.
I think it got canceled.
Yes, it did.
I'm surprised. Not for nothing, I never watched it. I saw I've never watched an entire episode, but I saw bits and pieces and thought they were hilarious. The Muppets. I'm surprised I canceled.
I don't know. I wanted to watch it, and I never got around to it, and I would always see the last 30 seconds as my DVR started taping whatever it was that came after the Muppets that I watched.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just remember people complaining about Kermit breaking up with Piggy, and that's kind of the last I heard about it.
Really? Really, people? Really?
Well, you know, because they went adult with it. It was to appeal to everybody who remembered the Muppets as a child.
Yeah.
And it was on primetime up against, tons of other stuff that everybody watches. So,
primetime is tough.
Yeah. You've got to break.
And especially on the big four networks, and ABC is one of the biggest ones. Like, nothing survives on ABC. If you have a show and you like it, you better pray it's not on ABC, because, that if it dips one half a point in the ratings, you're gonna lose it.
It's true. Isn't that, I think Flash Forward was on ABC, and I loved that show. It lasted one season, and that was it.
I didn't watch the show. I kind of meant to, but never got around to it, but I heard that Supergirl is going to the CW.
Really?
So it didn't quite make it on CBS, and, at least it still has enough of a following, and DC has all their shows on the CW anyway.
Yeah.
With the exception of Fox. Gotham, rather.
Yeah, that's where all the shows that didn't, all superhero shows that are stupid go. Like Arrow or whatever, Green Arrow, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah.
Don't watch it.
Green Goblin.
The hell is it? Not Green Lantern. Green Lantern. It's just Arrow,
right? Okay.
Yeah. But, and speaking, now you mentioned Gotham. We got to roll into Gotham here, too, because, mm-hmm. I don't know. Last night
of this season,
last night was that episode I was like, yeah, why? But no.
Yeah.
This is stupid. Not supposed to get shot. What's going on?
I was glad to see, now this is nothing specifically against Jada Pinkett Smith, but I was glad to see Fish Mooney go, because I was tired of her.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do anything. She didn't add anything. She just sat in that club and ordered people around. And I don't know who you are. You're not in the comics. Go away. Oh, good. They got rid of her. Yay. And now
I'm
there she is again.
I'm
like, you again?
Yeah.
And she shows up the way she was in the original episodes. Like, the guy resurrects her, and he's like, do you know your name? And B.B. Mm-hmm. Wong is playing a really good villain, Doctor Strange, ironically.
Yeah.
It's B.B. Wong, You saw him in the lab in Jurassic Park. You've seen him on lots of different shows. And here he's this slimy, smart, villainous lab character, and he's creating all these monsters, and he made all these other people, and she wakes her up and she's like, my name is Fish Mooney. I'm like, oh no. I thought you were gone.
I feel like that. I don't know. I don't like Firefly. I think she just annoys the crap out of me, and I don't know if it's the character or if it's the fact that she's a terrible actress. I haven't figured out which one it is yet.
Probably a terrible actress.
Yeah. I haven't figured out.
Watching last night's episode, I can really, really appreciate, and I think he's done okay so far, but I mm-hmm. think the actor who plays Bruce Wayne mm-hmm. really gave a strong performance last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he held the scene. He was in charge, and, he's just been kind of that kid. He's almost like a damsel in distress because he's always needing saving and he's running off. But this time, you saw this glimmer of strength that will eventually inhabit the cowl and be the man who is the bat. And I thought that was really, really exciting.
Yeah. And then he'll talk like this.
That'll be great.
One of the things of the bat, their voice was always the same as like Bruce Wayne. It's like, how's nobody ever picked that up? How do you not know that Bruce Wayne is Batman when you?
No, except for Christian Bale. He had the stupid,
yeah, Christian Bale
gravelly...
was the one that like Mike, same guy, same voice. You know, Val Kilmer played the same voice into Bruce Wayne. It was like, wait a minute. But it was like, over the years, you know, the Batman, it's always been like, how do you not know? It's like listening to Donald Trump.
The Donald?
Donald Trump. It's like, it's not Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, no. It's not. It's Geraldo Rivera.
So
can you imagine?
Do we see Batman in this series? Is it going to happen? I'm not saying this season. I'm talking about...
We should never see Batman.
I feel like that is a thing that should never happen, but I feel like it's going to happen. I feel like it's going to. Maybe not Batman.
I think we talked about this once. I didn't watch Smallville, but did he ever become Superman in Smallville?
I think at the end.
I think he did, but I honestly stopped watching it after like season 6 or something like that, or 5 maybe. Like, they hadn't gone to college yet.
Yeah.
So. Or maybe they were in college, but it wasn't, you know, he was still in love with Lana.
See, I believe
Lana.
We're going to see...
Lana!
I think we're going to see Batman, but I don't think it's going to be Batman. I think it's going to be Bruce Wayne.
I love the Chris Nolan movies so much, like that incarnation of Batman, Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
He is now my favorite Batman. It put the Batman into... I think, quote unquote, reality. Everything that happened, the way he created the suit and the parts, seemed like, yeah, this can happen. Whereas the Burton Batman was so fantastic and the Schumacher Batman was ridiculous. This one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And actually, now in Batman versus Superman, it took a step back into the fantasy realm where Alfred, this lone butler, is his mechanic and he's building all this stuff. And it's like, all right. For all the paranormal people out there who are waiting on your equipment, you're waiting for Bob Christopher to make your gadget, and it takes them a month to make one device, you know that Alfred can't make the bat boat and the bat copter and all this. He makes it in half an hour. And he's like, so here's your device. And
what do you need?
I am God. I'll make anything you want.
Like, at least in the movies, you know, Lucius Fox was like, okay, we got this warehouse down here, and the way I see it, this all belongs to you anyway. So it's all stuff he had instead of, hey, I need the Batboat. And it's just, you know, Alfred goes into the cave and tinkers, he puts on the apron and he just makes it. It's just, you know, super suspension of disbelief, and yeah, these are superhero movies, but there's only so much, especially now that we've seen Chris Nolan's version of it. Like, that's the version I like, and that's, you know, I'll use my suspension of disbelief for the aliens and the other things and the stuff that is fantastic. So you want your Batman to be real because he has no powers. He's got gadgets.
Right.
Exactly. So. Utility belt.
His utility belt. Dom.
Yeah. You always have, like, the Batarang.
No, I know.
But, I was thinking of, as you were talking about all this, the image I had when you were talking about Alfred creating all these things, I began to think about how Morgan on The Walking Dead was creating the jail cell, which will eventually hold somebody. And I'm thinking to myself, where did he get all that piping and steel to make that jail? And where did he find, like, the lock for the jail?
They didn't have it planned.
I'm pretty sure the Alexandrians weren't thinking about prisons when they were creating. So where did you find all of that?
But what's the face of an engineer? A husband?
Yeah, but...
Well, I mean, again, you got to think it's the apocalypse and most everybody's dead. So he can scavenge that stuff. You know, he's not making a collider. He's not making anything that's really out of the... He's making a jail cell with some cinder block and pipes. Like that I could believe. You know, we're willing to accept all these zombies running around. I can believe he was able to scavenge some stuff. That I'm okay with.
Listen,
Fear the Walking Dead though, I've totally checked out. I just don't care anymore. I've stopped watching it.
When did you check out?
Technically, I think 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. And then I'm like, all right, I watched two episodes just to see if it got any better. And I wanted to give it a chance. And I know sometimes, you know, we even just mentioned before, it takes some shows some time to find their legs. But, you know, this is a spinoff of an incredibly successful show that isn't giving you anything new. And it's certainly not going to, and they're not giving you any different insights. They're not giving you anything that the original show hasn't already given you. And I think I said this the last time, you know, we've got characters that we care about on the main show and we're stressed out and stuff is happening. On this show, every episode, we can't trust anybody and I'm stressed for an hour and I don't need this.
It's the last three episodes have gotten better. Because I was in that, like, I wasn't looking forward to watching Fear of the Walking Dead. The last couple of weeks, I was looking forward to watching Fear of the Walking Dead because there were two episodes in particular that they did very well. And it wasn't just the fact that they introduced a bunch of zombies. It was the character. They really focused heavily on Nick. And I really feel like Nick is going to develop into the main character of the show somehow. Even though right now, this past episode, he basically is going through a period where now he doesn't want to do it anymore. He actually just wants to become one of them and die because he just doesn't like the killing and stuff. But I think he's going to get past it somehow. Mm. But I do see what you're saying about nothing really new because, you know, they do the guts trick with Nick. They've done it already, though. And it took, you know, it was about the same time in The Walking Dead show that they did it. But they've done the guts trick with Nick. A couple other things. And now this last episode, the mid-season finale is actually coming up next week. But this past episode, they find, you know, they go to Mexico and they find this big complex. But they go into this big complex. And what do they find? Well, you have Daniel out roaming around at night, and he sees a little boy put a dog down a chute, and he hears the dog yelping. So what does he discover? The little boy talking to something. Oh, who are you talking to? My mama. What do you start thinking of? Herschel's Barn.
Herschel's Farm. Yep.
Yeah,
bingo.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are. They're keeping the dead family members and friends in this basement wine cellar. And it's like, Herschel's Farm, what are you doing? This is like, you're taking concepts from the original and just rehashing them through this one,
yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's like I've said since the beginning, like when they announced the new show and they said it's going to take place in LA and that area, I was thinking, you know, you missed an opportunity to have different stories by placing it in the north. How about Canada? How about, you know, Maine? How about somewhere that gets a ton of snow? So you got to deal with, in Georgia, the original crew, they're always hopping in a car and driving on some country road. But up there, oh, crap, we've got, you know, tons of snow. Cars are out of the question. The roads, you know, haven't been plowed because it's the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So, oh, my God, here's all these zombies coming. Maybe like in the book World War Z, winter was a safe time for everybody because all the zombies froze. But then comes spring and the thaw, that's when it got dangerous again. So that would be an interesting, I mean, maybe they might not want to do that because of the existence of World War Z and there's a, who knows, copyright on it. But I think they dropped the ball on an arena. And unless they give us the hows, and this is why I was never into zombie movies, because you never find out why there are zombies, how they got started. You never found anything, and there's never a cure. It's just, how can we kill everybody cool, see a couple of boobs, and kill the black guy, kill everyone else, but there's going to be a hot girl that survives and probably some other dude. And that is the formula.
Wait. They found the cure in Shaun of the Dead, remember?
Oh, my God. Right. They found the cure in Shaun of the Dead. They didn't really find a cure as much as they squashed and they put them all to work.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all
stopping cars.
They're all doing their thing, but you know, like we got in episode 6 of the first season of Walking Dead, they went to the CDC, and you find out, okay, it's in, everybody, and look at the brain, this is what happens. And that was like cool. Very early on, they're saying, all right, we're aware of what's happening. So we don't know how it happens and how to fix it. And for a little while, we had a little hope with Mullet Boy and Soldier Guy, Abraham, and that, oh, wow, maybe he really does know how to fix this. Maybe there is somebody working on it. Give us that.
But right.
Eventually, this is just going to, you know, with no hope, in a 90-minute zombie movie, okay, it's just about flash and gore and, oh, my God, look, this is amazing and special effects. But after seasons and seasons of a show, you know, we the viewers are The Walking Dead because we're just tuning in because we're used to it. You know, there's no goal, but at least with Rick and the gang, you know, we're really invested in those the growth of the characters. And I was talking to my neighbor, and he goes, "Oh, it would be cool if you saw Negan's story on Fear of the Walking Dead, like how he came about." And that would be cool because then at least it links the shows in a relevant way and, you know, it doesn't make it just a, hey, everybody, you love the first one, love this one too. It's I don't know.
I have a feeling. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was my problem. I had trouble, like, caring about the characters. I just don't care about them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that one's dead? When we told you, like, oh, babe, Jesse McCartney was on Fear the Walking Dead, I was like, who the hell is that?
I didn't know who he was, too, so they were like, hey, he was like a teen heartthrob. I'm like, that's
okay.
Kind of funny. But
yeah, I just don't care about the characters in that show. I could care less. Especially.
They developed into those characters. Like, right off the bat,
yeah.
Right in the, as soon as The Walking Dead started, you felt for Rick.
Yeah.
You're like, holy crap, this guy woke up in this world. He's messed up right now, you know? And the first real people he come across, crack him in the head and knock him out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You're real, clunk. I'm out. So... it's, you really, right off the bat, you felt for Rick. Mm-hmm. He was trying to find his family. He finds his family.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now it's survival.
Yeah.
So, I think that's actually really a really good point. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there because when The Walking Dead starts, you have one character, and that's Rick. So essentially, we're all Rick because we followed him. You know, we started watching the show. We woke up in the world with him, and we've traveled with him this whole time. Fear
yeah.
The Walking Dead. Here's six characters. Oh, now there's nine characters. I don't know any of their names. I keep getting some of the kids confused. A lot of people
yeah.
look the same to me. And
yeah.
I'm just like, all right, that girl, I think she's that other dude's daughter. And this guy. And this whole mixed family thing is confusing me because I forget who's related to who and who they picked up. And who's the girl on the boat that was on the plane and that thing that they showed 2 seconds of every week that I didn't care about? Yeah, like,
yeah.
It was just too much for me.
And it's like, the kid, the druggy son with the mother who's in denial and, you know, and will never, you know, won't admit to it, looks like one, he could be in a movie. He looks like he's the kid from Empire Records, the
right.
one that's in love with Mr.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, here's the,
here's
the big thing that saves my Sundays because, again, I just don't care about Fear of the Walking Dead because
yeah.
I have been watching Game of Thrones. HBO has
yeah.
had my Sunday nights now that it's back. And,
yeah.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Unfortunately, we don't get Hobo.
Yeah. We don't get...
we don't
Yeah. I'm just going to have to watch, like, the whole thing starting from the beginning. And I'm just going to have to do one of those don't watch it at all. Wait for all the seasons and just watch them all. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a heavy undertaking. Like, there's certain shows that I can't, I've been wanting to watch Lost again, but
mm-hmm.
it's so heavy, you know, like you can't just watch.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, shows on TV that have marathons all day. Like there's a Parks and Rec marathon on every day and you can just
yeah.
pop in, watch a couple and pop out. No, like Game of Thrones is heavy.
I know.
You
and
really
the thing
have
is,
to, you got to commit.
The thing is, people, I read when people post that people put up. So I have an idea of what's happening. So I'm not, because it's, for me, once I finish the books and once the show started off from the books and the books ended, if you get what I mean, I lost
mm-hmm.
interest. And I know it's a great show. I'm not knocking it. I know it's a fantastic show. But for me, it was like, you jackass, you didn't put out book 7 and you're putting out season 7. You know?
Right.
I'm like, So
well,
for me, it's just like whatever, I'll watch it when I watch it.
Him being one of the executive producers, I kind of imagine if they're like, hey, okay, we don't know what to do with these characters. Hey, George R. R. Martin, what do we do with Jon Snow?
Yeah.
I'm fairly confident he knows what where he was going, even if he didn't put it down to pen yet. Or if he's got to make it up on the spot, hopefully he thinks it's a good enough idea that, yeah, that's how it works in the books, too. So that I'm not too worried about. But from what I hear, after this season, I think the next two seasons are going to be shorter seasons. Because, I mean, this is not a ratings thing where they're going to stretch it for as long as they can go. Like, this is a finite tale, and eventually the war is going to end, and the Song of Fire and Ice that they started will come to its conclusion.
Yeah.
So, from what I understand, there'll be shorter seasons, which already 10 episodes. I think the seasons are short enough as it is.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not that.
I mean, most shows now are going 16 to 20 episodes.
It's amazing, because, thinking about this today, yeah, especially with Game of Thrones. I mean,
well, Game of Thrones is 10 episodes, so that means there's 42 weeks that you don't have Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But back in the day, 24 episodes was a standard season.
Right.
So.
Right. But now, the show's, like, on HBO time. They give you, they're like, here's what we're doing. Take it or leave it, you know?
Well, think about the production that they put in the Game of Thrones. How much it takes to... You can't do 20 episodes of that.
Yeah, no,
season,
and it's fine.
Each episode takes forever
for
them to
want,
film.
You'd have to do, like, half an hour episodes for it to be 20 episodes, you know what I mean? So, whatever.
Yeah. Each episode's like a movie.
Yeah.
It's like making a freaking
movie.
Yeah,
but the budget is huge.
Yeah. But it's like, when you watch things like, to go back to it, because let's face it, it's like the number one rated show on TV for this genre. You go back to like The Walking Dead, and they're banging out these seasons I don't want to say record time, but everybody has been working together so long that they click and they just know what they're supposed to do. The roles are there. Everybody, you guys in makeup, stay over there. All right, everybody make growly noises and come forward, and Rick and everybody's going to hack you to bits. Yay!
Yeah. Yay!
You
woo!
Know? And I like the fact that when you watch The Walking Dead, and if you've read the comics... No, I think you're still there, Brian, right?
No, we lost him.
Brian?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
But, you watch The Walking Dead. If you've read the comic book, you kind of know what to expect, but they change it enough that here we are in this big buildup, and now everybody's like, oh, there's no way they're going to keep it under wraps as to who Negan kills. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to keep it under wraps. We're all going to know way before the season comes out. Supposedly, they've already filmed the Negan scene. They've already filmed the finale, or the new episode, supposedly, and nobody freaking knows.
Yeah.
So, I expect at the beginning anyway that they're probably going to be, whoever has been killed is still going to be around, because they're probably going to shoot some flashback scenes.
Yeah.
Now, the theory out there is running around, or the theory, but the question is, are they going to show it in the first 15 minutes, or when the season starts in October, are you going to wait till the end of the episode to see who it is?
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think it's going to be the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Because what I think we're going to see when they come back is I think that we're going to see the other point of view from the other part of the group that was herded into the van. So what happened to Daryl and Glenn between when Daryl gets shot and Negan kills somebody? I think we're going to see that half when we come back. And then at the end of the episode, it's all going to come together, and we're going to see who we got.
Well, that makes sense, because it's whoever gets killed is in that box. So
right. Who's in the box?
It's going to be their,
the box.
It could be their full story.
Yeah. Definitely. But, Walking Dead, Gotham, Lucifer. We barely talked about Lucifer. I really do like
the
show.
We'll talk about Game of Thrones next time.
Yeah, Lucifer, the second show in a row, Lucifer got bumped.
I know.
And of the shows, I really dig Lucifer.
I know, I like it too.
I like
too.
Where it went at the end. So we talked briefly about it. But.
So next month, I'm not talking about Walking Dead at all. I feel we hogged the Fear of the Walking Dead got more airtime than it deserves as it is. Let's just Hardwick talk about it, I'm done.
We're done with the Walking Dead.
We're done Walking Dead. We're going to have to talk other stuff.
We're going to talk about like Big Bang Theory or something ridiculous.
Oh no. let's do cartoon reviews. We'll talk about Archer and Family Guy and American Dad.
Bob's
We'll just do a review of Toon Network. So what's Brian Cano got going on in the next weeks, months? I know in a couple weeks you'll be at Fenris, right?
Brian's going to be very busy.
Well, right now, I'm
now?
In Australia. So right now, I'm in Australia. So I'm really tired since I flew all day yesterday. But it's amazing. It's amazing. Tombstone last week was really cool, and it's things are gearing up. So the minute I get back from Australia, headed straight to Penhurst. That's gonna be cool. I hope I'm awake for it. Middle of June, I've got the lockdown at Mansfield. I'm going back to Ohio State Reformatory. July is going to be Barron Arts Center in New Jersey, the Benton Farmhouse in Kentucky, Bobby Mackey's, and then at the end of the month, I'm going to be in Gettysburg for a Three Pillars event/investigation at a location to be determined.
Sweet.
I'm going to Rolling Hills, Lizzie Borden, going to TempleCon in Providence, Rhode Island to support Three Pillars. It's a busy few months coming ahead, and the year is not even half over yet.
That's awesome.
NeverStopSearching.com?
.com.
.com. NeverStopSearching.com to pick up Three Pillars and all things Brian Canna.
Yep. Thank you so much, Brian.
Definitely tune in Tuesdays, Destination America, 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to watch Haunted Collector.
Awesome stuff.
Haunted Collector. I love it, man. I'm so happy you guys are back on TV and in the mouths of everybody.
I don't have to watch you on YouTube anymore.
It's the news.
It's the news.
Hey, Brian, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. See you next month.
Bye.
Later.
That was Brian J. Cano.
The handsome and dashing
the
Brian.
The debonair Brian J. Cano.
Calling us from down under. Totally thought he was in Australia.
I know. I'm telling you how fast time goes by. The calendar, like, oh my God, holy crap, he's in Australia. And then Penhurst is like, tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
It might as well be tomorrow because
it's
coming up
away.
So fast.
2 weeks to Penhurst.
Honey, it's really going to be Memorial Day.
It is really going to be Memorial Day. The story behind that is, last month, for whatever reason, my brain had a cramp, and I went, hey, Memorial Day is next weekend. No, that's next month, you ass. Yeah,
I was like,
right.
Yeah, next month, next weekend.
So Memorial Day really is coming up now.
It is. Crazy.
And that was fun, talking with Bri from Aussie.
Yep.
From down.
Probably why he couldn't hear us very well.
I wonder if he's going to join the thunder from down under while he's there.
Oh, my God. Ponytail swinging. All right.
Anyway,
have a good night, everyone.
Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next week, and we have no music to play you out with, so have a great night. See ya.
Bounce, chicka, bounce.